take in so much information from so many different directions. I just like to...
Sure. And we would have brought another one of those. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Yeah. That's all right. You can always, are we keeping this or are you going to take
that? That's for you all.
Okay, I was going to say we can always do another one.
And, sure.
And we've been working with Virginians for America First since September of 21. Yeah. And it's their president is Pastor Leon Benjamin, who's a congressional candidate in Virginia. I think it's District 6, but he's down a little bit southwest of here. And so they did the survey last year, and they're repeating it again this year. And it's of all registrars in the state, as many as they can reach out to. And you'll see it's a survey to try to identify those things that you think are maybe challenges for you, so that this might be a good legislative opportunity, you know, in January when the session meets again. So that's kind of the purpose of the survey.
Are you nonpartisan?
Nonpartisan. So I kind of, I previewed a couple of these earlier, and I want to be respectful of your time. We can move through as fast as you'd like. And how about if I just run down the line as we go?
Sure.
Okay. Question one, is this your first interview with Virginians for America First?
Yes.
Okay. Easy. Yes or no. What is your biggest concern about the upcoming election?
Just to do everything. I know this is generic, but to do everything we can to make it fair, free, open.
Are there any, is there anything in specific that you can identify relating to free, fair, and open elections that you think is, needs work? Or I'm just trying to peel back that question just a little bit more.
Well, I would say that not just for us, but for everywhere in the Commonwealth of Virginia, the same day registration is a significant change. So that's something that, we're already working on. The state is working on it to make sure that that's a good process.
Is it something that, so I guess we can kind of relate this to question three here. Any other major concerns? Same day registration is a concern of yours?
I wouldn't call it a concern. It's a challenge.
Okay.
Well, implementation.
For the first time. Anytime you implement something for the first time, it's always, you know, a little nervy.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you don't know how to
like starting a new job.
Right. The biggest thing is trying to anticipate what's going to be coming our way. Or, you know, what kind of pushback we may get or feedback we may get.
I personally don't know what was the impetus for the same day registration. It seems to me last year they had almost same day registration. Is this something different that we're doing this year?
Yeah, it's very different.
Very different.
And of course, we don't know, we don't take a position, and we don't know the rationale behind changes like that, you know, it's the legislature. But this is a significant change that the books have always closed, the voter registration books closed during the 21 days preceding the election. That's still the case. The books still close for 21 days, but voters have the opportunity to register at the satellite voting locations during the 21 days, and also in our office, and also at the polling places on election day. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any other concerns that you'd like to highlight? Okay. Do you feel you have the resources, equipment, personnel, and training needed to run an effective election in November?
Yes, we have them, and we're putting them in place. So we're in the hiring process right now. So we're in the process of putting everything in place that we need for November.
Okay. Question five, do you have an adequate number of precinct staff that meet the requirements of having equally declared Republicans and Democrats?
Is this concerning the chief and assistant chief positions, or is this?
I think that's the implication here, yes.
Yeah. We're putting that in place with, of course, the major change where all of our chiefs will be Republicans. So we're in process. It's a very high priority. And we're reaching out. We're working with the Republicans. We always work with the political parties. We're doing everything we can to reach out to our current, the individuals who have served, for instance, as assistant chiefs in the representing the Republican Party, we've reached out to them. We're continuing to reach out to them. We're going to have a lot of training.
And the Republican chiefs, because we have a Republican governor.
Right, right. And so if you find that you have some of the assistants that just don't want to step up for the added responsibility of being the chief, how do you reconcile that?
Then we go to some of our very experienced election officers. And the other thing we do is to reassure them. Sometimes people are just anxious about taking the leadership role. So we reassure them that we're going to have the individual that used to be the chief, you know, the Democrat, that person in many cases is still going to be there just as an assistant chief. So in many ways, it's a partnership. Mm-hmm.
So it's not like you're alone.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But we provide a great deal of support. That's really the biggest
and
thing.
And training. Yeah, training. They all go through training.
Mm. Okay.
The one year I worked at the polls, they had the chief, his wife had emergency surgery the night before, and the assistant chief wasn't at school and doing things, so they actually had a woman who like went around, was a troubleshooter, and
yes.
She got us started, and then at the end of the day she finished all, you know.
Yeah.
So I thought that was nice to know that there is someone else instead of
a
troubler.
Rovers too, so you know they have certain territories.
That's what she was, the rover.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No one's alone.
Yeah.
Nobody's out there by themselves.
Question six, did each precinct in your county have partisan observers for that last election? And I guess this is for the 2021.
I don't think we have records to show. We have a lot of observers, but I don't know if each every precinct had one.
I know they were out there.
And
we were getting phone calls from various people that they were out there.
And so I guess by partisan observers, this question means poll watchers. Is that the way you'd interpret that?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I was a poll watcher myself. And funny, the entire day, I didn't see a Democrat. I was a Republican representative, but I didn't see a Democrat, which surprised me. But I guess you just don't keep records on the poll watchers themselves?
No.
Okay. Does the county health department send a list of deceased people to your office every month so they can be removed from the voter rolls?
No, that's something that's taken care of at the state level.
State level?
Yes. They get information of deceased individuals, and they give that information to us so that we can remove deceased individuals from the voter list.
And so they provide a list, I guess, every month of those that indicate deceased the previous month?
It has been monthly, but there's legislation that has changed that. It's now going to be weekly.
Weekly, okay. Okay, great. Question eight, what do you do when a relative notifies you a family member has deceased and needs to be dropped from the voter rolls?
As I said a moment ago, that's taken care of at a state level. So we refer them to the state process, and because it needs to go through the state, and the state gives us information to deceased individuals.
And at the state, is there a particular office in Richmond that would go to?
The Department of Elections.
Okay. Question nine, during the last election cycle, did you have complaints from voters that someone had voted in their name? For example, was a mail-in ballot received and the voter claimed they did not cast a mail-in vote? Was there any you already voted scenarios?
I don't know of any case like that. The only thing that I can think of, we probably got this for November, we'll get one or two, not a complaint from somebody that a different person voted, but we'll get somebody very similar names, like junior and senior. So by accident, they get checked in incorrectly. But we didn't get any complaints that somebody else voted in their name.
My personal friend stood in line in the rain for an hour and a half.
This was in 2020?
Yeah. And when she got into the, at a police station, And she was told she already voted 15 minutes ago, and she goes, the hell I did. I've been standing in line in the rain.
Where was that?
I'm trying to think. It's off of, what's the main road there?
I thought it was here that it happened.
No,
because
no, no.
Because she went to Harrity. Okay.
My friend. No. Harrity's office, they have an ombudsman at the same place. The building's not only police. But anyway, she personally knew Harrity and went in and said, this is wrong. I have not voted. And I don't know how. Somehow they cleared it and she was able to vote. But wow, she was like singularly irate. Mm-hmm. You know.
Usually that voter will vote a provisional ballot. We can clear it up after, you know, after the election. We have a few days where we do all the
research. That's how it was when I was there. They did. Yeah. If there's any question, it was a provisional ballot. But I don't know what happened. And someone else, while she was there, an older couple, left in tears because they were told they already voted and they hadn't, you know. So that's something that reaches me personally. That's the only reason I'm asking. Yeah.
Okay. So I guess the answer to nine is not aware of any incidents. Number 10, do your absentee voter drop boxes have video monitoring that's monitored 24/7? If so, who is reviewing the video to ensure there are no issues?
The only one that has video is here at Government Center.
And that's the only drop box that's available 24/7 as well.
Huh. So for this coming election, there'll be no drop boxes just out in the public where people can come by?
Just here at the Government Center is the only
only
one.
Only here.
That we have the
monitor. We passed by that, didn't we?
Yeah.
And then there are drop boxes at each satellite location and at the election day polling places. But those don't have video monitor, but they have an election officer with them.
Okay.
So there's drop boxes that during normal voting hours at all locations, and they're monitored by an election officer. Okay. However, anything that's just 24/7 will just be here at the Government Center.
Okay. So I guess the election officer monitoring stops after a certain period of the day. Then the election officer leaves and...
No, that's usually somebody there the whole time.
The whole time?
Voting hours. Yeah, during voting hours. So if the poll, say, satellite is only open 1 to 7, there's somebody there from 1 to 7.
Oh,
okay. Might be somebody that gives them a break, but, you know...
Sure.
Is it definitely, yeah.
Okay. All right, so I think I understand now then. So there's no drop boxes just out in the public.
No, just out here in the Government Center.
All in a satellite location or here at the Government Center. Great, thank you.
And polling places on election day.
Okay. Question 11, are all drop boxes emptied with the witness of sworn officers of the election with more than one sworn officer present? Are party chairmen notified of when drop boxes are emptied to have the option of sending partisan observers?
We do have two individuals present when the drop box is emptied. The other question, it wouldn't be practical for us to notify the party chairman every time that something is emptied. It's either done at the precincts at the end of the election night, so of course there could be observers there, for the satellites. We're going around to, for this November, 17 different satellite locations. It wouldn't be possible or practical for us to say this is going to be empty at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock. But of course, observers, if they're there, it's a very open process, open to inspection, open to review.
So I guess one way that could be addressed might be to have observers from each party available at the locations where there are drop boxes, you know, approaching the end of the day.
Well, we're not always at the satellites. We're not always going to empty them at the end of the day.
Oh, okay.
But definitely there are observers at the satellite locations, and that's an option to have observers at all times.
The boxes are right there. They can see them all day long.
Yeah, okay.
Usually they're right inside with the polling place.
Okay.
We have three satellite locations that will be open for 45 days, including Government Center. Then the others are only going to be open for, 10 days.
Yeah, 10 days. directors have, including a Sunday.
Question 12, did the party chairman of both parties get invited to calibrate the machines during the last election? Did they accept and attend?
So is the last election November or June? The last election was June, and we invited, that was a Democratic primary, there was no Republican primary, and so we invited and they did come. We invite for the general elections, both political parties, and their choice if they come or don't come. And of course, they're not required to come for the entire process that takes close to 2 weeks.
About a week out, we notify them. They know what hours they want to be testing.
Because
we usually have testing for the satellites and then for all the polling places.
Okay, so the invitation goes out, whether they accept or not, that's
right,
up to them.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. 13, how are your voting machines stored and secured between elections? Are they always in a locked storage facility? Who has access where they're stored? Are there logs maintained of info accessed, of who accessed the storage area? And then where are these logs stored? Who has access to them?
For 13 and 14, I can't get into detail because this is a security concern. I will assure you that we do have security procedures. We do have multiple staff responsible for the security of our voting equipment. We do keep records, but I can't, beyond that, I can't give you specific information because that would go against our whole security protocol if I told you where it's secured and that sort of thing.
Oh, okay.
24.2.625.1. Do you want to look at the code?
Oh, okay. Okay. Can you give that to me again?
24.2.625.1.
Okay, thank you.
That's interesting because when he worked at the poll at the end of the day, when you were a poll watcher, because he asked the guy, he goes, okay, you're taking these, where? Because this guy was a Democrat. And he said, well, we take the box and we take it to the safe. And he goes, okay, well, who has access to it? So when you just said you have to protect your procedure, that makes me feel better because he was real kind of fuzzy about what happened.
Very evasive about exactly what happened.
But now that you protect your security, that makes me feel better. Thank you.
Good. Okay. So that's 13, 14, 15. Who delivers the voting machines to the voting precinct? What is the procedure?
We have, between our staff and we also have other county staff who are sworn to do this, there are representatives. We have a group of voting equipment technicians, technical staff that are involved in the process.
So I guess they pick them up from some central location and they take the machines to the precinct and then they hand them over to the precinct chief.
Well, there's a time in between the security locations prior to election day.
Okay. Who delivers the ballots to the voting precinct? What is the procedure?
The ballots, it's our staff, our sworn staff, deliver the ballots and they're secured, locked up, secured.
Okay. So again, I guess they come from a central location. Your staff picks up the precinct ballots, takes them to the precinct, delivers them to the chief. Great. Coming in the home stretch here. 17, does your county utilize touchscreen voting or paper ballots?
We have paper ballots. We also have, and I don't know if this is what this is referring to. This is not touchscreen though. We have accessible machines.
I remember those. I think last year was the first time they came out.
We were trying. We were using the.
I guess the answer, and the answer to this question is, it says or paper ballots. We use paper.
Yeah, both. Yes, okay.
That's our primary method of voting.
for the soundbites we're using the white books to create. Those for November. In these, the primary we're using paper ballots.
Okay, so primary is paper alone. Okay.
I mean, we do have accessible voting. Primary method is paper ballots.
Okay. I remember last year they were encouraging anyone to use accessible machines because I think they were just trying to get some experience with them.
The reason that was just in November last year, we have a requirement beginning this November, every jurisdiction in Virginia will be required to give every voter a precinct ballot. So in the past, even the voter received a ballot based on what was on the ballot. Sometimes only a couple of different ballot styles. Now we have 264 different precincts. Every voter is required to get a different ballot. So last November we got ahead of the curve. We're trying to figure out how do you give every voter a different ballot. So your choices are to have 264 different ballot styles, which is logistically very challenging. Also, it's important, of course, to give the right ballot to the voter. So instead, last November we tried using the express vote accessible machines for most of the voters, because for that, you don't have to have all the different paper ballots. For this June of 2022, we tested a ballot print-on-demand system. Mm-hmm. It was highly successful. That's what we'll be using this November and in future elections. So at the satellite, you check in. You don't have to, the election officer doesn't have to identify the ballot for the voter, because when you check in, we already know what ballot you should get because it's based on where you're registered. So the ballot print on demand will automatically generate a different ballot for each voter. We just have to have blank paper, ballot paper, which we will very carefully track.
Gotcha. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I always wondered when we'd check in and they'd have to look you up and then write down at the bottom what your precinct is and all that. Yeah.
Okay, thank you for that additional info. That's very interesting about that. Item 18, when the post-election day canvass is conducted and there are discrepancies, are there counts of ballots themselves or just a reading of the computer-generated report?
We can't count the ballots during the canvass because the ballots are secured at the end of the day, at the end of satellite voting, and at the end of the election day. All ballots are secured and turned over to the circuit court. The custody of a sheriff, a sheriff escorts them. So we don't have the ballots during the canvass. We're looking at, we have different things to check. We have the electronic reports that print out for each machine. We have computer generated reports from the media that was in the machine. We're checking that. We also have from the check-in poll pads, the number of voters that were checked in, mm-hmm. So we're balancing each piece of information. If there's any kind of difference, we can go deeper. We can look at, within the check-in results, for instance, any information, if there's any kind of difference between the check-in and the what was on the machine.
Okay, so the post-election day canvas, if there are discrepancies, the reference would be back to the machines themselves and their counts, as well as the poll pads, as kind of a check against that. Okay. Number 19, House Bill 150, that goes into effect July 1st, requires that public body meetings, such as the electoral board meetings, to be posted on official government website within 7 days of the final approval of minutes. This is in addition to existing requirements that meeting dates, times, and locations must also be posted in advance. How is your office meeting this requirement?
We are posting that information.
On our website.
On your website?
website.gov/elections.
Okay, so there I'd find the minutes of past board meetings since the 1st of July.
Yeah, you can go to look under the electoral board tab.
Okay.
Don't quote me on that, but yeah.
Okay.
They've been there for quite some time, actually.
Okay. Question 20, Senate Bill 211 and House Bill 55, both of which go into effect July 1st, require the state registrar of vital records transmit a weekly list of deceased individuals. Previously monthly, you had mentioned this earlier. General registrars will be required to promptly cancel the registrations of persons known to be deceased or otherwise disqualified from voting. How will your office address this requirement? Who is in charge of making sure that registrations are promptly canceled?
The manager that's responsible for this, she already does a fantastic job on all the records that we get from the state. So it's just changing it from monthly to weekly. So we have staff in place to take care of this, and they'll just change the frequency. And ultimately, I'm the person that's responsible.
Okay. So I guess with this new procedure, then if there's a death notification, it goes to the state. The state reaches out to the county, and then your staff takes the appropriate action
exactly.
on the registration. Okay, that's great. Well, that covers our questions. Is there anything else that you might add? Okay, good.
And this is totally not on our question, just as a citizen. As we all have seen on television and everything across the nation, the poll pads that are used, these are secure. They're not going to be able to be from outside sources to get in and have shenanigans on those to affect. So like if there's a discrepancy and you go to check, if people have been manipulating like they did down in Georgia, how do they protect that from happening? Does it show if anyone tries to enter and violate that?
Oh, yes. They're very secure. It's very apparent if there was any kind of issue. But beyond that, even though many jurisdictions in the country will allow the poll pads to be taken home, we don't do that. We
Good.
Don't want our chiefs. It's not that we don't trust our chiefs, we trust them a great deal.
Sure.
But we don't even want an appearance
there
that
you go.
There could be any kind of issue.
Absolutely.
So we're really cautious.
Sure. Thank you.
If I may, just one other question. There are some concerns that have been addressed that voting systems actually have the ability to connect to the internet. And the same thing with poll pads. Is that a factor in Fairfax County? Any thoughts or comments on that?
In Fairfax County, our voting machines are don't even have modems in them, because even though you could have a modem and just not use it. Again, we don't want there to be any appearance that there's even the possibility of doing something. So we have that and beyond, so that's a control. So there is no connection to the internet. But beyond that, we also, one of the questions earlier mentioned, trying to get party balance. This is something we try for every single election, not just for the chief and assistant chief, but we want to have parity for all election officers.
Right.
We involve the political parties, and because that's really at the end of the day, the separate from the technology, it's important. The people there that are part of the process, that's very important to have both political parties represented.
That's right.
Okay, good. I read something recently that the term modem is a dinosaur when you think about the old dial-up modems that we used to have, and that actually a modem now is a chip. And so if you ask the question, do these machines have modems, and they say no, the answer might still be, they are able to connect if there is a circuit board that allows that to happen. Mm-hmm. So just something that might be worth considering, that modem is an antiquated term when you think about connectivity.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that either.
We have a link on our website too about the voting machines.
Okay.
Oh, does it? Oh, good.
Look on the left-hand, fairfaxcounty.gov/elections, on the left-hand tab, I think it says voting machines.
Perfect.
Click onto that and you'll see what machines we use.
Okay. Excellent. I think I have seen that before. That's an extensive list. Yeah.
So So we just have the, it's our website, like we have facts now, frequently asked questions, and it might be a lot of these things are in there too.
Sure.
We just uploaded them about 3 days ago, so it's a new thing for us. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Offer any feedback. Doesn't make sense to you.
I think they wanted us to come in person and speak, so we can say we actually spoke with the registrar,
That's all right. Yeah. Great.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, thank you very much.
I know. Appreciate
really,
your time.
Really appreciate your